Last summer, our youth minister, David Gilbert, took a group of youth down to Honduras for a mission trip in partnership with Water Mission. And when they returned to Charleston, those of us parents who had children on the trip, we all, of course, went to the airport to greet them. And as they made their way through the exit from the terminal, as they filed out to where we were standing, excitedly waiting for them, you could see on their faces a mixture of both excitement and exhaustion. They were excited to tell all of the stories of all that had taken place while they were on their missionary journey, but they were also ready to collapse on their beds. And that is exactly where we find the disciples this morning. They are returning from a missionary journey. Jesus had sent them out two by two on a mission of preaching. They were to preach a message of repentance. They were to drive out demons in his name. They were to heal. And now they have come back and are ready to tell the tales, but also completely exhausted by the mission. Jesus knows that they need a little time for rest and renewal, but by this point in his ministry, Jesus has become incredibly popular. People are flocking to him from all over. They cannot get enough of Jesus. And so Jesus and his disciples, they're mobbed by the crowd. They can't get a break, even to get a bite to eat. So Jesus says to them, look, guys, let's go and find a desolate place so that you can rest for a little while. So they get into a boat and they begin to make their way. Now, what you need to know about this boat, these boats that they use, is that they were not particularly speedy. They were great for fishing, but if you were to try and enter one in a Wednesday night regatta here in Charleston, you would have quite a handicap, and I dare say you would have a hard time winning the race. These are pokey little boats, effective fishing vessels, but not speed boats. And so the crowd can just look at where they're going and figure out where the destination is. And if you can picture the scene in your mind, it's almost comedic. I mean, Jesus and his disciples sort of plodding across the lake, and then the crowd going along the shoreline and following where they go. And you can be sure that the disciples, in all their excitement, they are talking Jesus' ears off. They are sharing all of the stories. They're not paying attention to what's happening on the shoreline. So that when they make their way to the other side and their little boat bumps up onto the shore and to the sound of that grinding sand underneath the keel, as soon as their boat comes to a stop, the disciples look up from their storytelling and they realize what has happened. And you can just feel their hearts sinking as they take in the scene of this crowd that has beat them to the punch. I can almost imagine one of the disciples, I don't know, maybe Thomas, saying under his breath, you know, sir, we could just put out and go find another place. It's not too late. But it is too late. Because Jesus has gotten out of the boat and he has seen the crowd. And he has compassion on them. Because they're like sheep without a shepherd. This has got to be one of the most tender passages in all the Bible, and it is a picture of what God is like. When God encounters our need, he's moved by it. Our God is not some faceless, anonymous, dispassionate, impersonal force out there somewhere. No, he is like a mother hen brooding over her chicks. He broods over us. When Jesus went ashore, he saw the crowd and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. This word for compassion, it means to be so moved by what you see that you are compelled to act. Just think, if one of us went over into the courtyard, just on the other side of the wall over here to your left, if you were to walk into the courtyard and there in the middle of the courtyard was a little child and the child was alone and crying, what would you do? You would go immediately to that little child and you'd say, little child, are you okay? Are you lost? Have you lost your parents? To be so compelled by what you see so as to be moved to act. Jesus had compassion on them. Notice as well what the text does not say. It does not say that Jesus was moved because the people were worthy. It does not say that Jesus was moved because the people were noble and good. No. Jesus had compassion on them because they needed help. Jesus was moved not by their worthiness, but by their need. So often we can get this idea in our minds that we've got to get our act all together before God will listen to our cry for help. That we've got to do certain things in a certain way before we can unlock His mercy. But Jesus came to show us what God is really like. He's compassionate. He is moved by our needs. He takes action. Now, I know there are some here today who are feeling a need, a real need, in a very acute way. Some of you are feeling the need of a sickness that you are praying to be healed. Some of you are living in the midst of a broken relationship, or maybe it's some unrealized hope that seems completely out of reach, and you might begin to wonder, does God even care? And Jesus is showing you the answer. Yes, He cares. Now, God's action is not always on our timeline. And His intervention does not always come in quite the way that we might have wanted or imagined. But if you have come here this morning with some deep need tugging at your heart, then friend, this is a picture of your God. Turn your heart to this same Jesus and pour out your need to Him once again and trust that He will act and that He will make a way. When Jesus saw the crowd, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so He begins to teach them. In fact, He begins to teach them many things. Because Jesus knows that what this crowd needs more than anything is the assurance that there is a God and that this God is compassionate and loving. A God whose heart is tender. A God who is calling them to become part of His kingdom and His family. So Jesus is telling them the truth about what God is really like and what it means to be His son or His daughter. And He's not holding back. You know, it's like if you go to a car wash and you pull up to the little thing and you put your credit card in, there's the basic wash, there's the super wash, and there's the ultimate wash. Well, Jesus is giving them the ultimate. He's not holding anything back. And it's not lost on the disciples that the shadows are getting longer and longer and longer. So they go into handling mode because Jesus doesn't seem to be winding this thing down at all. And they go up to Him and they say, "Hey, Lord, excuse us, but you know, we are out here in the boonies. These people are getting hungry, hint, hint, so are we. So we need to send them out into the countryside to get some food for themselves." But Jesus isn't going to be handled. He turns to them and says those words that I have to imagine must have come as like a punch in the stomach. He said, "You give them something to eat." Well, that's it. The disciples are tired. The disciples are hungry. The disciples are frustrated. They're probably a little bit resentful. And so one of them snaps back, "Shall we go out and buy these people 200 denarii worth of food?" Now, when you understand that a denarius is a day's wage and that the disciples hardly had two nickels to rub together, then you realize that whoever it was that responded with this question was feeling a little bit testy. And in this moment, Mark has painted a picture for us, a contrast between how Jesus responds to human need and how the disciples respond to human need, at least initially. When Jesus is faced with the need of the crowd, He is moved by compassion into action. But when the disciples are confronted with the need of the crowd, their initial response is to send the needy away. But friends, Jesus wants His disciples to respond to need in the way that He does. If you grew up in the Episcopal Church, then perhaps your family used the following blessing at meals. I'm going to stop at a certain point and see who can fill in the blanks. Bless, O Lord, these gifts to our use and us to thy service, and make us ever mindful of the needs of others through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, as best I can tell, that prayer showed up in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. I've not been able to figure out who actually wrote the prayer, so I can't prove this, but I just can't help but wonder if perhaps that prayer arose out of this passage. You give them something to eat. Because whoever wrote this prayer clearly understood that we need the same thing that the disciples needed in this moment. We need the grace of God to transform us from who we are into who we were made to be, a people who are like God, a people who are mindful of, responsive to, compassionate towards the needs of others. Now, our natural inclination is just like the disciples. Lord, this is a desolate place. The hour is late. Send them away to go in the surrounding countrysides and villages to buy themselves something to eat. That's our natural response to need. But if you grew up praying this little blessing over your meals, then three times a day, you are praying that God would do something supernatural within you. Lord, make us like you. Make us mindful of, responsive to, compassionate toward the needs of others through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, pay attention to the needs that God places in front of you this week. And then pay attention to what your heart does in response. Perhaps God will place into your path someone who just needs a listening ear. Perhaps God will place into your path someone who needs a word of counsel or advice or encouragement or maybe just a little bit of patience. Or maybe God will place in your path someone who has some material need. But pay attention. What does your heart do in response? And if you discover that your response to human need is, well, more like the disciples than it is like Jesus, then perhaps this little simple prayer over meals might be just the thing to open the doorway of your heart to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who alone can come in and transform human hearts so that they begin to beat like the heart of God. Now, I need to make an important clarification. Jesus is concerned with the posture of our hearts. How do we respond to need? He wants to cultivate within us a spirit of compassion and responsiveness when we encounter the needs around us. But this does not mean that we should say yes to every request for help. And this is important. Sometimes there will be a need for discernment before we respond. In fact, one of our mission partners recommends that our ministry teams read a book called When Helping Hurts. It's a tough book, but it's a book about how sometimes our well-intentioned attempts to help can actually hurt the people that we're trying to help. So the point is, sometimes there is a need for discernment before we respond, to ask, Lord, what is the best way for me to respond to this need? And further still, sometimes the right response will need to be no. I think about my wife, Ellen, who is a school nurse. And there are those days in the nurse's office where they've got one kid who's bleeding from the head, one kid who's throwing up in a bucket, and it's always at that moment that a gaggle of kids burst through the door and say, "Nurse, nurse, we didn't like anything they were feeding us for lunch. It was yucky. Will you give us a snack?" Sometimes the right answer is no. "I love you, children, but get out of here." Or to give a more serious example, I think about the parents of children who are in the throes of addiction. Oftentimes, the right answer is no. I have a dear friend of mine who, as a teenager, was a full full-blown opioid addict. Some of you have heard his testimony. He was stealing from his parents to pay for his addiction. He was lying to them. He was making their lives a living hell. They did everything they could figure out to try and help him. But there came a point, and my friend will tell you that the best thing that they ever did for him, there came a point where they realized the only thing they could do was to throw him out. Their no to his request for help was the hardest no they ever had to say, but their no opened the door to his recovery. So it's not that Jesus is saying to us that we should respond yes to every need. After all, Jesus himself in this very moment is saying no to his disciples' very real physical need for food and for rest, a need which he himself identified at the beginning of the passage. Let's go away and get you guys some rest. He's saying no to that, at least temporarily. So it's not that Jesus is saying to us that we should respond yes to every need. But what he is saying is that we should always respond and with compassion. Sometimes, oftentimes, the response will be yes. How can I help you? Sometimes there will be a need to pause and discern, maybe even to take it up with another brother or sister in Christ to say, can you help me understand how best to respond to this need? Sometimes the response will need to be no. But even then, it should be a no in love and compassion. But all the time, we, God's people, are called to be mindful of, attentive and responsive to the needs that we encounter. To be a people like God, a helpful people. You give them something to eat. But the story's not over. Jesus and his disciples are at a bit of a stalemate. Jesus has issued the challenge, you give them something to eat. Someone has responded with that testy question, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread to feed these people? And you can just, the tension is mounting. They're probably a little bit hangry. Things aren't getting better. But Jesus does a funny thing. He doesn't respond to that testy question. He doesn't answer it. Instead, he responds with his own question. How many loaves do you have? And you can just feel that his question breaks the mounting tension, and the disciples probably realize what's happened. They probably feel a little bit embarrassed. They realize they've kind of gotten a little out of hand. They've put their hunger before everything else, and so they sheepishly back down, a little bit of embarrassment on their faces. They go, and they ask around, and they bring him, Lord, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Translation. The disciples have something to offer. But it is not enough to feed the crowd. So even as Jesus is cultivating a spirit of compassion and responsiveness with one hand, you give them something to eat. He's also cultivating another instinct. It's like the two hands of a potter working the clay on the wheel. With one hand, he's cultivating that spirit of compassion. With the other hand, he's shaping and forming an instinct to trust in God's provision. You see, the disciples' natural instinct, our natural instinct when we encounter need is to say, well, what can I do about it? And there's not that there's something wrong with that question, but the problem with the question, with responding to need by simply saying, well, what can I do about it, is oftentimes you'll realize you've got 5 loaves and 2 fish and it's a crowd of 5,000. And you say, oh, well, I can't meet that need. So send them away, Lord, to go get themselves something to eat. But if God has cultivated within you a spirit of trust in his provision and a willingness to offer up what little you have, then God can and will take your offering and use it to bring about better things than you could ask or imagine. 5 loaves, 2 fish. So instead of focusing on the limitations of our resources, brothers and sisters, Jesus wants us to trust him and to offer up what we have, our time, our resources, our influence, and to say with our hearts, take these things, Lord Jesus, and use them to bring about your good. A spirit of responsive compassion, a spirit of trust in God's provision. Friends, when Jesus Christ, the master potter, has formed these two instincts in our hearts, then we will behold the mighty things of God. 5 loaves, 2 fish, on that day, 5,000 men and many more men and women were fed by the provision of God. May God foster that compassion and that trust in us today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we open our hearts to you. And we ask that you would do a supernatural work within them by your Holy Spirit. Transform us into a people like you, a people who respond to need with compassion. And foster as well, Lord Jesus, a trust in your provision, so that rather than focusing on the limitations of what we have, we might focus instead with trusting hearts to what you might do as we offer what we have to you. So take us, we pray, take all that we have and all that we are and use them to do your mighty purposes for this world which you love. For we ask these things in your precious and powerful name. Amen.